Good morning, one and all. Welcome to the fourth Advent. And today I feel a little bit of excitement because it's so close to Christmas. And earlier this week I realized that we were missing one song. And just out of my soul came Welchen Jubel, welche Freude, because it's just a wonderful time of the year. So I would like to invite you all to stand for the song and then remain standing for the call to worship.
Welchen Jubel, welche Freude bringt die liebe Weihnachtszeit. Fröhlich sieht man alle Leute in der ganzen Christenheit. Er sei Gott zu Last der Schalen und Friede für den Menschen wohlgefallen. Euch ist ja der Heil und geboren, der Herr in der Davidstadt. Widerstrahlt im Glanz der Kerzen, funkelt uns der Weihnachtsbaum, und es fassen unsere Herzen all die Herrlichkeiten kaum. Er sei Gott zu Last der Schalen und Friede werden Menschen wohlgefallen. Euch ist ja der Heiland geboren, der Herr in der Davidstadt. Doch nur kurze Wolke Freuden, bald verlöschte Kerzenlicht. Jesus kann allein bereiten Freuden, die vergehen nicht. Er sei Gott zu Last der Schaden und Friede für den Menschen wohlgefallen. Euch ist ja der Heiland geboren, der Herr in der Davidstadt.
And if you'd like to turn in your bulletin, the call to worship is at the back. Oh God, my God, I cry out to you.
Asking, will I be saved to your goodness, forgiven of the brokenness I have made, certain that I am called to you?
Will I follow the child you sent to lead me? Will I no longer be afraid, but be restored?
God, what am I waiting for?
Thank you. You may be seated. And so now we're going to sing verse 4 of Hope is a Candle. But before we do that, I am sure that you all know that we have two sets of Advent candles here, and we are remembering another Mennonite church around the world. And so when I was thinking about which church to choose, Marv and I talked about Africa, and then I realized, and we came to the Mennonite World Conference map, and it showed how many Mennonite members are in Africa, and there's actually a significant number. So today, let us remember the Mennonite church in Ethiopia. I'm not sure who was here. There was somebody had spoken at one point in time, and he did talk about Ethiopia and talking about how Lalibela was going to be the next Jerusalem, and they showed the church that is actually, if you're on ground level, you can see the cross in the shape of the church, and the church is actually made of stone, and it's right in the ground, and it's a huge, massive stone church in the shape of a cross. So that image has stayed with me since then. So I think it's a great idea that we consider the Mennonites in Ethiopia. They're also one of the oldest Christian countries, with Christianity having been established in the 4th century, which is Wow, that's pretty amazing if you think about it. And they have almost 370,000 baptized members. So as we sing Hope is a Candle, verse 4, which is joy, I am going to light the candles and let us remember our church family here as well as our church family in Ethiopia.
Is a candle of mystery and laughter, mystery of light that is born in the dark. Laughter at hearing the voice of an angel ever so near, casting out fear. Joy is a candle of mystery and laughter, mystery of light that is born in the dark. Laughter at hearing the voice of an angel ever so near, casting out fear.
Back and forth today. So now in response, the responsive reading is also in your bulletin. Stir up your might and come and save us.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
Let your hand be upon us and make us strong.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
Give us life and we will call on your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your light shine that we may be saved.
So once again, good morning. I welcome you all here to our morning Fourth Advent service. Are there any guests that would like to be introduced? Thank you. Rather. Let's just help it for a moment. Okay, so we'll introduce the candles. Okay, I think we're going to go... Is there any announcements that anybody wants to highlight? I see that there's... No guests, or there are some guests up above, so I'd like to welcome everybody. And is there any sharing? Yes.
Is it on?
Yes.
Just to let our volunteer choir that we're going to have for Christmas Eve know that we will be meeting in the choir room at 6 o'clock. The program starts at 6:30. So we need to be meeting there at 6. So we wait to see you there.
So for anybody who wants to join in the singing for Christmas Eve, please come and join in the voices of the choir. I think I will now call upon the children to come down for the children's story.
Hello. Samuel. That's right. Samuel, right? You are full of energy today. How many more days till Christmas?
Two.
Monday, and then Tuesday is Christmas Eve, which is the day that you guys get to do that wonderful show for us. And then Christmas is coming. Okay, today we're going to be talking about Joseph. Poor Joseph gets forgotten quite often, I think. But Joseph had a big job. Joseph was going to be Jesus' dad on earth. And he was a little worried about this. And guess what? An angel came to see him. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid." Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear somebody say, "Don't be afraid," I right away start to think about what I need to be afraid of. Do you think that maybe happened to him too? Did he maybe have some... questions about this? Yes. But the angel told him that Mary was going to have a son and his name was going to be Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And I have a picture here that shows Mary with the baby and it's God with us. And if you just think about that, that God is with us. it kind of makes any question you might have a little easier to take because God's right here with us. And I think that's what happened with Joseph. Do you think he had lots of questions after the angel came to see him? Yes, but he just tried really hard to remember Emmanuel. God is with us. So Joseph had lots of questions. Some were answered by the angels, by the angel, but some answers probably just asked more questions. The big answer was that Jesus' name, Emmanuel, means God is with us. Jesus is God coming to be with his people. There's still lots of questions, but as long as we know that God is with us, we can ask and be curious. God created us to be curious, and he wants us to ask questions. So can we bow for prayer? God, thank you for Joseph and his questions. We have the answer that you are with us. Be with us as we continue to search for answers to our other many questions. Amen. Now go solve the Christmas show problem.
I can't wait to see it. How about you? And now we're going to sing, Do You Hear What I Hear? It's one of our praise and worship favorites for sure.
Said the night queen to the little lamb, Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, Do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the trees, with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, Do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, Do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. People everywhere, listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child. Sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light. Do you see what I see?
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you know what I see?
The child,
sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light.
And now we have some more time for sharing. If we've got any concerns or words of joy that you want to share with the congregation. Is there anybody that has any news as we prepare for this holiday season? I'm sure everybody's looking forward to excitement of spending time with friends and families. Okay. Then we will bow for prayer, and at the beginning of the prayer, I would like to invite you to pray for our church family here, any friends and families that we know that need our prayers, as well as the church in Ethiopia. So I'll give a moment of silence before I go into the balance of the prayer. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, restore us, O Lord, and may we live in the presence of your love and your belonging. Let your light shine in and through us. May each of us heed your call to belong in you through Jesus Christ, bold, grace-filled, and in full awareness of who you are. God with us. Amen. And we will now take the offering.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod, and will kiss a little baby? You've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb, and the sleeping child you're holding is a great I Am?
And now Lasse will come up and read the scripture, and then we will invite Marv to offer the sermon for us today.
Everyone, good to be back. Good to see all you guys again. I'm going to be reading Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25 first. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning. All right. Sounds like it's okay. It's a good one when everything goes perfectly in a morning, right? I understand that you were hearing me greeting people in the foyer beforehand as you were preparing for the service. David, you have no idea the things that I said about you. Well, you got it recorded yet too. All right. Fortunately, I don't think that there was anything very personal or intimate in the conversation, so that's a good thing. In this case, and then a candle doesn't want to light, so I was wondering which candle that was, whether that was Ethiopia or Canada or us. Do you know?
It was ours.
It was ours? Okay, so the less significant one went out and the more significant. Yeah. All right, why don't we take a moment to pray. Our Lord God, on this morning we have been, our attention has been brought to the birth of Jesus. That's been what we've been thinking about. And as we continue in the sermon to think about the people waiting for Jesus, what that meant and how that might translate to us, we pray for your Spirit to speak to us. May we hear it. May we respond. In Jesus' name, amen. So on the first Sunday of Advent, 3 weeks ago, I guess, I reminded you of how long Winnipeg waited for a Canadian Football League championship. 29 years, right? Yes, we have it. We know that number well. At least some of us know that number well. 29 years since we had last seen such a thing occur, and that we observed in late November in 2019. Not since 1990. Well, was it worth the wait? Anybody have a comment on that? Now, that's an interesting question. I don't know for sure how to answer it. I was thinking about that a little bit and thinking, well, so we usually when we think about something being worth the wait, then we think that it had some really good results, right? And I really can't think that anything particularly important or good resulted because of Winnipeg winning, for me that is, because of Winnipeg winning the CFL championship. So I don't know. When it comes down to it, I would say that sports are not important enough to classify under the worth the wait category. I didn't find my world significantly altered or improved because the Bombers won the Grey Cup. So I'm not sure that I could say it was worth the wait. And I'm pretty sure that it's not good enough that I want to wait another 29 years for the next one. But, and so there's just a little comment on the length of waiting, but that's a pretty short wait compared to what the people of Israel were thinking about and going through as they waited for the Messiah, The person that they expected would come and usher in a period of goodness, peace, prosperity for their kingdom. The Old Testament records a growing sense of expectancy for God to break into the world and bring about something new, but the wait for that was lengthy. Now, when God broke into the world was something radically new, and coming into the world as God in human form was radically new, were the results that good that it could be said it was worth the wait? That's the question that today's theme inspires. Was it worth the wait? Is it worth the wait? Now, let me review with you the progression of our Advent theme. The writers of our resource material had us reflecting on our communal frustration in the first week of Advent due to a sense that the vision of peace and harmony of Isaiah 2 has not come into the world after the time of Jesus. In the second week of Advent, the Advent writers had us expressing impatience with God's work of turning humanity from greed, violence, and oppression and toward peace, rightness, generosity, and equity. Last week, we switched from communal reflection toward more individual reflection. Our Advent writers suggested that we might be despairing of our own resistance to the work of change that God is doing. And today, we continue to think individually about responses to the wait for God's vision to take hold. Our writers suggest that today's emotion is hesitancy. I was thinking, is that actually an emotion? Not sure. But it's sort of a feeling of, we're not sure this is going to work out. Now, hesitancy suggests, see, if last week's was despair, then hesitancy suggests that at least we could be on the move towards seeing the work of Jesus taking hold. We might have despaired last week. This week, we hesitantly begin to think that it might be worth the wait for God's work to take shape in our world and in our individual lives. The two texts I chose for reflection this morning lead us in thinking about the meaning of God's response to our world in Jesus, and how what God did with the coming of Jesus to earth has such positive and life-giving results that it is always worth the wait for those to take shape, those things that God meant to do, and for us to begin to see them and experience them. So our first text is the story leading up to the birth of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. I'll retell it a little bit. We've heard it a few times in different ways this morning. Joseph and Mary had a serious commitment to becoming married. This was a sure thing. They were committing themselves to each other for life. But then, something very odd happened. Joseph and Mary had abided by their religious understanding to abstain from sexual relations until marriage, but somehow Mary became pregnant. Naturally, Joseph thought that some other man was the father. The story indicates that Joseph was at that point of no mind to marry Mary. When he learned about that pregnancy, no, that was about the end for him. And Matthew's story tells us that it was at the point of Joseph's decision to end his engagement to Mary that God intervened by bringing an angel in a dream to Joseph. In the dream, an angel of God told Joseph that Mary's pregnancy was from the Holy Spirit. The inference was that there had not been another man. This was a pregnancy caused by the Holy Spirit. Now, on the one hand, we had some suggestions that there might have been questions. I think there might well have been. On the one hand, I imagine that Joseph might have been relieved at this revelation. Mary had not been unfaithful to their commitment to each other after all. She had nothing to do with this pregnancy's beginning. Their marriage plans could go forward. But on the other hand, I imagine that Joseph may have been so confused that he would have found it easier to end their marriage plans after all. What could it possibly mean that his wife was pregnant because of the Holy Spirit? Well, Matthew tells us that Joseph did what God told him to do. He went ahead with his commitment to the marriage. So that's the story. That's as much of the story as Matthew records of the birth of Jesus. It doesn't really talk about the birth of Jesus per se. I want to elaborate on one significant understanding from this text. Twice in the text, Matthew tells us that Mary's pregnancy is from the Holy Spirit. In verse 18, he writes that Mary was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Then, in the telling of the dream Joseph saw, the angel tells Joseph that what is conceived in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. The emphasis in the story is on the Holy Spirit, more so than on a birth, on a miraculous virgin birth even. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not arguing against a virgin birth. But that's not the emphasis in the story. The emphasis is on the Holy Spirit being involved in the coming of God to earth in the form of the human Jesus. What significance does this have? So to respond to that question, we need to ask what the Jews at the time of the birth of Jesus would have understood the Holy Spirit to do. To that, we can say that they would have expected the Holy Spirit to reveal God's truth to humans and to help them see it. The Holy Spirit was understood to be active in the creation of the world, another thing that they thought about the Holy Spirit. So the emphasis on the Holy Spirit in the passage would have spoken of the creation of something new. Along that similar line, we might think of the account in Ezekiel chapter 37 when we ask what the significance of the Holy Spirit would have been to the people of Israel. That is the passage where the prophet Ezekiel sees a vision of dry bones. That might ring a bell for you. And God speaks to Ezekiel in this vision as Ezekiel sees these dry bones and says, human bones, by the way, and God says that God will put flesh back on these dry bones and they will live again. In verse 14 of that chapter, God says, I will put my spirit in you, speaking to the people of Israel, and you will live. The Holy Spirit is involved in the spiritual recreation of humanity. All of this understanding about the work of the Holy Spirit would have been sensed by the people that read this description of the coming of Jesus and the Holy Spirit's involvement. And all of this understanding about the work of the Holy Spirit gets transferred in a sense to Jesus, with the emphasis that the Holy Spirit is actively involved in the conception of Jesus. In Jesus, humanity will understand God's truth. Jesus will help humans to see what God truly desires of them. Through Jesus, humanity will be offered the opportunity to be recreated spiritually, knowing a new spiritual life of communion with God. That set of understandings about what the emphasis on the Holy Spirit in the birth story of Jesus means is good news for us. It reminds us that the results of the coming of Jesus were so important that it was worth the wait. Our text from Romans helps us to build on that understanding. So we read the introduction to Paul's rather lengthy letter to the church in Rome earlier on. Paul tells the church in Rome that he has been called and set apart by God for the purposes of the good news of God. In verses 3 and 4, Paul sets out some of the basics of that good news. It has to do with Jesus. Paul emphasizes that Jesus was a descendant of King David in the Old Testament in order to cement the idea that Jesus was human. But then he says that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God through the Holy Spirit when he was resurrected by the dead, from the dead, in order to make it clear that Jesus was God. Okay, two statements. The descendant of David, he's human. Declared in power in resurrection from the dead to be God. I think it's worthwhile to note that the Holy Spirit is again present in this text, in that it talks about the Holy Spirit being part of the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And then Paul says something about why the good news of Jesus is good news for the readers of his letter. Remember that he is writing to people who have already identified with the Christian church in Rome. His readers have responded to God's call to follow Jesus. And Paul reminds them that Paul's mission has been to call people to the walk of obedient faith that is the result of following Jesus. And so he provides them, and I think by extension us, with two encouraging ideas. One is that those who have chosen to follow Jesus belong to Jesus Christ. Now, one could read that in a negative sense. You could read ownership, and we don't really like to be owned by anybody. But I don't think that's quite what the sense of belonging is here, right? We hope to belong somewhere. When we choose to attend a church, we hope that we will soon feel like we belong there. When we join a group of people who participate together in some kind of sporting recreation, well, we hope that we will be made to feel like we belong. See, I have at least had that experience. On a number of occasions, I have wanted to play a sport that I've enjoyed, but I haven't been with my group of friends, and I have found a place to play, and I've with people that I really didn't know, and I've hoped that they would accept me, that I would feel like I belonged. You feel a little bit like you have to be good enough, but not too good to feel like you belong, right? But that's, I think you can identify with that. We look for places to belong. We want that. And when we join a new family through marriage, we hope to feel like we belong. This is a basic desire in our lives. And Paul tells us that in Jesus, we belong. We are included. We don't need to wonder if we're really accepted and appreciated or not. In Jesus, we belong. That's the one great idea that he throws at us there about the result of following Jesus. The second great encouraging idea is that he calls the followers of Jesus in Rome saints. Now, we may well be inclined to think of humans who near perfection when we hear the word saints. But that's not what the use of the word in the New Testament signifies. In the New Testament, humans are identified as saints simply because they follow Jesus. Every follower of Jesus is a saint in New Testament language. It is an encouraging thing to think that we could be called saints. Well, we pretty much know that we don't measure up to what we think a saint is. But in New Testament language, it's an encouraging thing to think that we could be called saints. Paul says the Romans, and by implication, us, those of us who continue to follow Jesus, calls them saints. All of this positive stuff that comes from us living in relationship with God when we choose to follow Jesus comes about because we are loved by God. Paul reminds us of that basic, incontrovertible belief in verse 7. And having reminded his readers that they are loved by God, he wishes them grace and peace from God. That's the conclusion of the Romans text. So we glean these positive messages from these texts. We understand that the coming of Jesus initiated the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of humans, and that that work includes a spiritual recreation that brings us into tune with God. We understand that we have belonging in the body of Jesus, and that we can even be called saints. God, in his tremendous love for humanity, decided to come to earth in the person of Jesus to make this all clear to us and to initiate this. We understand that the life of Jesus and the witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives helps us to see what God is truly like and what he calls us to become. When we think of all that, we are perhaps led to declare that it was worth the wait. Now, it is still left for us to grab hold of that. We can turn away from the recreation that God wants to bring to our lives. Our call to worship earlier in the service reminded us that we may well not experience this entirely. Do you remember what we asked in the call to worship? We asked God, "Will I be saved to your goodness? Will I be forgiven of the brokenness I have made? Will I be certain that I am called to you? Will I follow the child you sent to lead me? Will I no longer be afraid but be restored?" And then we asked, "What am I waiting for?" Perhaps we have concluded that the coming of the work of Jesus is worth waiting for. May we also recognize that it is well worth it to stop waiting and to invite the God who recreates by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring his restoration to our lives. As we declared a few times in that responsive reading, calling for God to restore. May we recognize that it is well worth it to stop waiting and to invite the God who recreates by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring his restoration to our lives. Let's pray. Our God, we have at least allowed the text to remind us that you have loved us, that you have loved humanity, that in coming to earth as Jesus, you declared that. And that through Jesus, you are calling us to respond, to open ourselves to your work in our lives, to think about it being worth the wait, and then to stop waiting and respond. Guide us by your Spirit, we pray, in the name of Jesus.
Oh, come Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. Oh, come thou day, spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Oh, come, the Lord of might, who to thy tribes of Sinai's height in ancient times didst give the law, in cloud and majesty and awe. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Now I would like to ask you to rise for the benediction, and if you are able, remain standing for our last song. May we find the strength and courage to look around, observe what God has done and is doing, and enter fully into the reality of God with us. May we surrender to our God, embracing the one to whom we are called to belong. Amen.
Tonight I can see a star shine, and its splendor fills up the sky. It's the same that appeared and the wise men revered when hope was born this night. Out upon the snowy fields, there's a silent peace that heals, and it echoes the grace
of our Savior's embrace, because hope was born this night. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let all of the world sing a chorus of joy, because hope was born this night.
I can hear the Christmas bells ring as soft their church choir sings. It's a song used to praise the Ancient of Days when hope was born this night. There are angels in this place, and my heart resounds with the praise. Like a shepherd so scared, I'll rejoice and declare that hope was born this night. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let all of the world sing a chorus of joy, because hope was born this night. Gloria, 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 Gloria.
God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let all of the world sing a chorus of joy, because hope was born this night. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let all of the world sing a chorus of joy, because hope was born this night. Because hope was born this night. Because Christ was born this night.